Hey guys, welcome to episode 9 of Fit Friends Happy Hour. Today we are talking about fad diets. So you've probably heard fad diets, but hopefully we'll give you a little more insight to actually some of the pros and also the cons. So we're going to talk about a lot of the popular ones that are trendy, just kind of what from our observation, what we notice our friends, our family are trying, and we're going to give you some real both opinions, but also some real facts to help you make the best decision of what works for you. Let's get started.
Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour with your hosts, Katie Hake and Lauren Wrighton.
What's up?
Hey.
I feel like I always just
excited
yell.
To be here.
I always yell. That's just how we get started. What up?
Your excitement is just always overflowing in a good way.
I'm just so fired up about fad diets. So totally, not so much now. I've learned a lot over the years. But I definitely was one in the past to try different diets. I will admit, I will say this on the air and admit, when I was in high school, I tried thermogenics, right? If you don't know what thermogenics are, it's basically basically diet pills that make you sweat a crap ton, and thermogenics, they get you hot, and just stupid stuff like that.
Wait, this is fun. Let's talk about all the diets. Not all the diets you've tried, but like the really, like the worst one. Was that the worst one that you've done?
That was probably pretty bad. That's just not safe. There's so many studies that how it's so bad for you, but you know, you read on that it's going to help you lose weight. And we've totally all been there where you feel like you'll try anything. And I have a memory. I remember someone older than me. I found that they had these like some celebrity type of weight loss pills. And I remember thinking, oh, well, if they're doing it, then it must be safe, then I can try it. totally distorted high school mentality, right? Doing anything to be thin.
I know. How ridiculous. Early college, I bought these like natural weight loss. I don't even remember what like the big thing about them was. And they were basically caffeine. Like, that was basically what it was when I got them and, like, looked at the ingredients.
That's, like, the same effect of thermogenics, right?
Yeah. So I, like, knew better, but I still bought them. And when I got them, I was like, yeah, I am afraid that something terrible is going to happen to my body. And so I took a couple of them, but I didn't really do it seriously.
That was totally me. I was like, I know better, but I did it anyways.
And I think it's just one way to kind of experiment is with your body. Some people experiment with drugs. Some people experiment with alcohol. Some people experiment with, like, and you can experiment in the gym. So I don't think it's necessarily, obviously, you're not trying to hurt yourself and maybe you're not desperate, but you're just trying to, like, kind of, you know, see what's going to work for you. And that mentality is good. It's just you have to draw some lines in the sand, and the weight loss pills are on the other side of the line. You don't want to go there.
I would like to say that we're past weight loss pills. Like, I think our generation is past that, but I don't know. I think that's my perception, but I think I could totally be wrong. And I think there's definitely people out there who still believe in them. I think we could talk supplements, could be a whole nother podcast. Let's jump right into what I think is a really trendy diet right now, which is the paleo and the whole 30. I don't know. I kind of combine those into one. So for those of you who don't know what paleo is the general idea behind it is if a caveman didn't eat it, then neither should you. So the food, if you can't hunt it, if you can't fish it, if you can't gather it, you're not eating it. So that means no grains, no dairy, no legumes, which are beans or peas, no sugar, no salt. So think things like plants, a lot of fish, a lot of meat. The idea is that our bodies, right, we survived off the land, so that's what our bodies are predisposition to, and that's what we should stick to eating. With all this other stuff that's been added into society, it's causing harm to our body and causing all these diseases. Paleo is something that's pretty popular in the CrossFit community. That's probably the most where I've heard it. Whole30 is kind of a version of paleo. It's basically a cookbook that's come out where goes back to eating just whole fruits and vegetables. Does Whole30 include grains?
Whole30 is too new for me. Since I don't diet anymore, I'm proud to say that I don't diet. I don't know for sure. I used to know everything about diets, but I'm kind of happy I don't.
Whole 30, basically, it's a 30-day challenge, but it's evolved off of this cookbook or this whole idea, lifestyle, similar to paleo, where you're eating all whole foods, nothing processed. Basically, if you can't see it, where it came from, you don't eat it. Pros to these, I think there's lots of, I actually think there's quite a few pros to both of these. Number one, it encourages whole fruits and vegetables. That is one of the primary things I preach, is eating whole fruits and vegetables. So this really encourages that. You're eating a lot more whole fruits and vegetables. It's including lean types of protein, plant-based foods, which are shown to contribute to weight loss, helps control blood sugar for diabetics, helps lower your blood pressure, all those sorts of things, which are great. On the flip side, this specific diet definitely exceeds the dietary guidelines for fat and proteins, and it falls very short of carbohydrates. Anytime we cut out a certain type of food group, we're going to have deficiencies. It's almost inevitable. So, you know, if you're cutting out grains, you're missing out a lot of fiber, which can also, you know, fiber has lots of benefits. It's shown to reduce heart disease, reduce cancer and diabetes, all sorts of studies. There are some studies shown that dairy may actually play a role in weight loss. And I think overall, paleo and Whole 30 is just hard to sustain. I mean, definitely depending on your lifestyle. I am a type of person who, yeah, I do need convenience food sometimes. I do need some things that are grab and go that aren't necessarily unhealthy, but to paleo guidelines, you can't pull it out of the ground. It is processed in some way.
The big difference that I've seen with paleo and Whole 30 is that paleo is a lifestyle, whereas Whole 30 is a challenge. So correct me if I'm wrong in this. Paleo, I think because of that, it's more strict. It's like, now that you're paleo, you don't eat these things anymore. Whereas Whole 30, I see it as more of a way for people to learn how to eat healthy. And then once the 30-day challenge is over, hopefully they would have learned something that they can take into their diet moving forward. Now, it, maybe they just do the challenge for 30 days and they go back to eating what they used to eat, and therefore not a lot has been learned.
Definitely would agree with that. With the Whole 30, I've had clients, and my sister actually, you know, it was a great jump start for her. Some people need something like that, like a fad diet that's a catalyst. It's they need some sort of structure to follow, and sometimes it works. Sometimes they do learn things about their body, especially with Whole 30. They're learning how to prepare healthier meals. They're learning, you know, how to pick fresh fruits and vegetables. So hopefully some of those habits translate into their normal life.
Yeah. Versus with paleo, because it's so strict, I think people have that mentality of I'm either eating paleo or I'm not eating paleo. There's just no flexibility.
So for someone like a CrossFitter, that's very much a community. CrossFit is, it's a culture. So let's say all your friends are CrossFitters, all your family's CrossFitters. So you all naturally eat like that? Yeah, for you, it's a little bit more of a lifestyle. It's probably much easier to sustain versus, let's say, I do CrossFit and I eat paleo, but I live at home, my family doesn't, my friends don't do it. So when you're in those social situations, would be way harder, not impossible, but way harder to sustain.
Yeah. As we talked about in our very first episode, episode zero, I was vegan for 4 years. It's been about a year now since I stopped being vegan. And being vegan is very, very black and white. A vegan diet is you don't eat any animal products at all. So no meat, no eggs, no dairy. So basically what you're eating is vegetables, nuts, legumes, fruits, and seeds. So the reason that I became vegan was because I had read a lot about how healthy it was and how great it was for your heart. So there's really two versions of veganism. Some people are vegan because of the ethics, because they think it's wrong to kill animals. Some people, like myself, I was vegan because of the health benefits. It's marketed as a very clean diet. Your body's able to digest these foods very well, and therefore you won't have any pimples and et cetera. So in my experience, the pros were that I had really great energy. I do think that my body digested the food really easily, and I was eating really healthy foods. Now, with being vegan, you can go into kind of the dark zone of only eating like processed vegan food, like frozen vegan food. My husband and I would eat Friday nights, we'd have like the vegan chicken fingers and things like that. On a regular basis, I was eating a lot of whole foods. So in that sense, that is a pro. That is, you are eating a lot of whole fruits and vegetables. Now that I'm not doing it anymore, I see a lot more of the cons. For me specifically, the cons were I was eating a lot of sweets. Because when I would go to parties, there'd be like a veggie tray and hummus. Okay, awesome. There's cheese and crackers. And then there would be like a bunch of like meat things or a salad with dairy all over it. So I would eat like the veggies and the hummus, but then there would just be crackers. And I already have a sweet tooth. So I would end up eating a lot of sweets, a lot of processed carbs, not the greatest carbs for you, and vegetables. And that was not a good diet for me. In order for me to eat healthy, I needed those lean proteins. So it just didn't end up working for me in that sense. I do think that a lot of people have success with veganism. What I had to learn for my own self was that something that's so black and white wasn't going to work for me. And I learned a ton about how to prep healthy meals and how to make food that didn't have meat in it. And I'm glad that I have those skills now, but you have to be careful with not taking in enough protein, eating too many carbs, and you definitely need to take a B12 supplement if you're considering veganism.
I didn't think about the sweets, but that's very true. I mean, yeah, reaching for a lot of the convenience foods because they are technically vegan, right? But they're not necessarily a healthy choice. Like you said, definitely vegans and vegetarians are at higher risk for protein and vitamin B deficiency. Not saying that it can't be done, it's just harder. I think there's a lot more products out on the market mm-hmm. that cater to vegan and vegetarian, especially with like the fake meat and the different types of protein. I personally find myself eating a lot more vegetarian options just because I like it. Preference.
Yeah. I always am attracted to stuff when I see it at like a restaurant. If it's vegan, I'll probably always get it because I want to try it because it's just different foods that you might not normally eat.
Perfect example of this. This was a while ago when Joey and I came to visit you in India. We went to this restaurant in Broad Ripple and I had the tofu beer battered fish and chips. Totally not necessarily healthy for you, but it was just something different that I'd never tried and I loved it. We should go back there.
Oh yeah, I would definitely go back there. So let's talk the 21-day fix.
What is the 21-day fix? If you've seen it on TV, you've probably seen the infomercials. It's a Beachbody program with workouts and this whole meal system, right? So it gives you these little containers. I think green is vegetables, purple is fruits, red is protein, yellow is your carbohydrates. It's these cutesy, pretty colored little blocks that basically teach you portion control. I have done this, right? Because it makes it simple. So the pros that I see to it is, number one, it's teaching you portion control, which is a huge barrier to eating healthy for a lot of people. A lot of people just, they struggle with it. They don't know what a right portion is. For some people, they just need to actually measure it. And the 21 Day Fix just kind of puts it in a nice, cute little bundle, right? Who doesn't want to put their food in these cute little color-coded containers? It makes it simple. But at the end of the day, people are consuming less because they're following portion controls. Typically, what I've found is that the calculation it uses puts people in a calorie restriction, more so usually than they need, especially if they're exercising. So that's why they see quick results, because it's only 3 weeks. Anyone can, you know, stick to a little bit of a calorie restriction for 3 weeks. They're going to see results. So that's the issue that I run into it, is it's definitely what, like it says, it's a 21-day fix. It's a quick fix. But again, going back to if people do actually follow some of the behaviors that they practice with portion control, they don't have to use the containers all along. You know, I use my containers all the time still, just because they're nice little Tupperware and they do keep a little bit portion control. Another thing that is probably a negative in my opinion is it's a low carb diet. So low calorie, low carb. Obviously, you're going to get people who get results because they're losing water weight pretty quickly. Any opinions on that?
Yeah, I've done the 21-day fixes as well. I like it because it's really easy to plan out your day, because it'll tell you like, oh, well, with your goals, you want to eat 2 purples and 4 reds today. And so I liked that about it, that it seemed to really simplify things.
You know, if I as a dietitian were to just tell a client, hey, why don't you eat 2 servings of fruit and 5 servings of vegetables each day? For some reason, people can't think like that, but this beautiful package system, if they see, oh, okay, I've just got to fill up that container of green X amount of days, it's just easier for people to wrap their heads around.
Yeah, it is funny.
Fun fact, everyone go knowledge bomb your friends on this, is a cantaloupe a fruit or vegetable?
I guess a vegetable.
Squash family.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Okay, moving on. Oh, this is a good one. Ketogenic diet. In my opinion, this one is very much popular right now. Basically, it is the Atkins diet of the 2000s. So what it is keto, ketogenic, comes from the root of ketones. You're consuming low carbohydrates, so your body is burning more fat as your fuel, which causes your body to create ketones. So I had to look this up, but I think a traditionally ketogenic diet would be about 70% of your calories coming from fat, only 25% coming from protein, and just 5 to 10% coming from carbs. Oh my gosh, that would flip my world upside down. You're eating types of things like full fat dairy, a lot of nuts, butter, coconut, a lot of coconut oil, a lot of different oils in general, avocados, very fatty fish, beef, eggs, bacon, right? So right there, people think, oh, wow, this all sounds like awesome food. I want to eat it. But the reality where this diet started from is back in, I don't know, I want to say the 60s or something, they did studies, and this was shown to be helpful on children with epilepsy. So the brain was using more fat for fuel, which caused children specifically to have better control over their seizures. So scientists saw this and they thought, oh, okay, well, it's beneficial to people with epilepsy. It's got to have other health benefits. So it has been shown to be effective for weight loss, for insulin, improving insulin resistance. And there is emerging data of anti-cancer effects, but that's not to say there aren't negatives to it. The biggest issue, again, I have with it is if you're only consuming 5 to 10% of your diet from carbohydrates, that's your body's preferred source of fuel. So you're going to have low energy. You're going to feel real lethargic. Of course, if you're not proportioned, you're going to be missing out on vitamins and minerals if you're cutting something out or just consuming so little of it that it's really hard to get the variety that your body needs.
Do you think that there is a different diet for everyone? Like, is everyone's body the exact same and we should all eat certain way? Or is it that people with a vegan diet, some people do really well with a paleo diet? And I mean long term. Is this true, or is it we should all really be eating in a similar way?
That's a really good question. I think the simple answer is everyone is totally different. Your genetics are different. What you put in your body is going to be react, not totally, but could act totally different than how my body reacts to certain foods. Now, on the flip side, the dietary recommendations, the dietary guidelines are based off of the general population. They're standards for us to start. Now, some people, like we're going over all these different fad diets, some people it works for their lifestyle and maybe they feel better and they just enjoy eating that way. But I think, yeah, it all boils down to lifestyle and your individual approach. I think if you're one extreme, it's just almost, it's almost inevitable for the average person to not be at some sort of deficiency and be lacking in some area. When I was preparing for this podcast, I actually was just doing a little bit reading on my own, and I came across a blog of a dietitian who read about the ketogenic diet, and she actually put herself through the diet, and it was really interesting reading her experience. It was really interesting seeing how she tried it and how her energy levels, there were some days where she didn't eat for like 15 hours because of just how fat is good for us, right? Because fat creates satiety and it helps you feel full. That's why low fat items, you're always hungry after a low fat item because you don't have that same mouthfeel that gives you those same satiety cues. Like, but anyways, there were days where she would fast for like 15 hours. And she said, okay, that now that makes sense why intermittent fasting pairs so well with ketogenic, because you're not hungry and you don't want to eat and you're sick of all the oils. And just, I mean, think of that. I think of how eating all those foods would make me feel all the time. I think I personally would get sick of it and not being able to have as much fruit, right? Because if you're having a lot of fat, low carbohydrate, carbohydrates are in fruit. It's not just in grains and breads, but it's in a lot of fruit. And I couldn't do that. And she found herself sacrificing in a lot of different social situations. And she went to a conference and all these food items that were there, great options, great healthy options, but not following her ketogenic diet. She couldn't eat them. And so she ended up obviously not following through.
Yeah, that's how I felt when I was vegan, is at the end of being vegan, I started to think like, what's so wrong with this like chicken breast that I'm turning down? And instead I'm eating too many Ritz crackers and a cupcake. Always just ask yourself, does this diet actually feel right to me? Because even if like we can tell you all day long that this is the healthiest way to eat, but if it doesn't feel right to you, if you don't feel like you have good energy, if you don't feel good eating those, you know, it's not the right decision for you.
Yeah, and I've also read about like athletes who have success with the ketogenic diet. But in my opinion, for the average Joe, it's just, it's not sustainable. It's hard to eat like that and maintain your energy and just overall, I just don't think it's sustainable.
So, Katie, explain what counting your macros is and give some pros and cons.
Counting macros, yes, is very popular and trendy at the moment. For those of you, you might have seen little pie charts. People will post their pie charts of their macros. Let's say I'm eating a 2,000 calorie diet. Let's say 60% of those calories are going to come from carbohydrates, 30% is going to come from fat, and then the other remaining is coming from protein. So instead of counting calories, they're counting macros, which is short for macronutrients. So they're counting the number of grams of protein, grams of carbohydrates, grams of fat. So essentially it's calorie counting, but looser, I guess. Well, let's talk about the pros first. Pros, I think, again, it's getting you to experiment with your body. You have to educate yourself of what contains, you know, you have to educate yourself on the labels of what foods contain what, which of course we all can learn from that, learn about what we're putting in our bodies. The con, I personally, we see this image on social media of if it fits your macros, and they're showing a picture of their Pop-Tart covered ice cream. That's not the reality. That's what they show, but they don't show what they've been eating the rest of the day, which is generally pretty restrictive. So from my opinion, what I've seen, I think it can lead to a little distorted eating because, okay, at the end of the day, you're going to eat this Pop-Tart because of the amount of carbohydrates and fat in it, even though it's not necessarily a healthier choice, you're going to pick that because it technically, quote unquote, fits your macros.
Yeah. Which really goes back to our point of if you get to the point in trying one of these diets that you're just following the diet to follow the diet and not because it's like the healthier decision, you know, you've gone too far.
Yeah, definitely.
Like if you're eating a Pop-Tart because like that's the thing that's going to hit your macros.
Yeah.
Like that, it's like, maybe this isn't the right thing.
I think to sum everything up, number one, fad diets are good in some way because they cause you to learn about your body. It causes you to educate yourself on nutrition and what you're putting in your body if you're getting it from a credible source. I think people definitely can become more in tune with their body. On the flip side, lots of cons. In my opinion, the cons outweigh the pros. You're thinking more about the numbers sometimes and less about how you feel and what is right for your body. And it, like I said, it can lead to disordered eating. Now, healthy eating is a little disordered eating. Healthy eating is having fruits and vegetables, but also having a cookie. You know, that is normal. And I think that's for some
that's
reason.
That's an interesting way to put it.
For some reason, that's hard for people to wrap their heads around, that a healthy diet includes some unhealthy things, because that's life. And it's more about your relationship with food and how it makes you feel overall at the end of the day. And what works for someone else isn't necessarily going to work for you.
Yeah, that's true. It's not necessary that you follow a perfect diet. I just like want to say that out loud because I know that I needed to hear that back in the day. Your diet should have its own ups and downs.
I took a nutrition counseling course in college, and that was probably one of my favorite classes because that just, I don't know why I had a light bulb moment in that class. Molly Kellogg, she's a really famous dietitian. She does a lot of counseling and behavior change with food. She said normal eating is, it's healthy, it's unhealthy. It's a mix of everything. It's balance. That's what we talk about, balance. A diet is what you eat. It's what you put in your body, end of the day.
Yeah.
Take home message really is life is a marathon. It's not a sprint. So knowing that by doing any type of quote unquote fad diet, it's going to be a short-term fix. You know, while it might be great to get you kickstarted, to get you going, get you motivated with the new year still going on, be honest with yourself. Why are you doing it? Is it, do you know that you're going to give up and that it's going to be a short fix? And at the end of the day, is it going to make you happy by being restrictive and sticking to those guidelines? Are you happy? Do you feel comfortable? Do you feel good about your body? If so, heck yeah. If you're getting a balance of everything and you're supplementing where you need, then rock on, girlfriend. Do what you got to do. But at the end of the day, if you find yourself making decisions that put you in a negative mood in a social situation or make you feel bad about yourself because you didn't stick to the guidelines that the diet gave you, is it worth it? Really take a minute to think, do the pros outweigh the cons for you? And know that what works for someone else may or may not work for you.
So what we want you guys to do this week is to write down all of the diets that you've done, not diet pills or anything, no like cayenne water, that doesn't count, but any diets that you've done and write down what you liked about each one when you were doing them. And from there, you can really learn something about yourself. Maybe you really like the portion control, or maybe you do like eating a little more protein than carbs.
Put what you've learned together and implement things that you like into your own diet, which is what you eat and how you eat, which changes every day.
Yes. Boom. Well, that is it. I hope you guys learned a ton, and we will talk to you guys next week. See you then.
Bye. Woo-woo.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. If you liked today's episode, share it with a friend, and don't forget to subscribe. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Fit Friends Happy Hour. We love hosting this podcast, and we're so happy that you're listening. We'll talk to you next week.